Why don't we just gang up on people? You know how the police teapack people?
Yeah.
Let's just teapack middle lane drivers.
I'm down for it.
Hello, and welcome back to the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast. We did take a few weeks off, but we are back this side of the new year, 2025. Here we go again. Episode 13, I believe it is.
Yes.
With myself, Edwin Klinkerberg, and William Chandler, and Ben Rogers behind the camera. At the beginning of every single Cream episode, much like the last, we always ask, do cars rule everything around us, or do they ruin everything around us this week? And not just the week, call it the last month, end of December, Will. Have they ruled or ruined?
You know what? Overall,
I already know what it's going to be.
I'm going to, new year, new me.
Old me.
Yeah, same cars.
Hold on, you're telling me.
I'm going to go with a rule.
Hold on. In good conscience, in good faith, you're telling me you can say rule.
Because overall, since the last podcast, I am up. Number one, my Clio ran and has broken again since. It has no brakes and something else happened.
So,
but nonetheless, it has wheels. I haven't seen wheels on that car for 4 months.
Can you do like a 5 second recap on what the story was?
Car engine was smoking. So I bought a new engine, rebuilt said engine, removed and refitted engine, messed up something on the timing, had to do that 4 times over. I had to buy 3 different sets of cams, snapped a bolt, had to buy the cams again, refitted it, started up, absolutely no problem.
And we're going.
I'm back driving, took it for a drive, had no brakes.
Tough.
Big panic. Turned it off, hasn't turned on again since because I think the starter motor may have failed. So it just doesn't. Ben said something quite, just it rang true with me. I just stared into the distance when I saw the message. That car doesn't want to live.
Yeah, it's fair. Yeah.
It just fights me at every possible opportunity.
Also, because this is like one of the first cars that you've done this sort of work on.
Yeah.
Whereas I've always been doing this sort of work. You always would say to me, like, well, you just get a car that works.
Yeah.
But do you now see how it's just not that easy because you put so much time into it that you're like, I have to make you work.
Yeah, but I am one decision away from just selling it.
Ben, how many times has he said that?
15 to 20.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's getting too. It's getting too much.
You keep saying one more, and it's been about 5 more. Do it. Break it.
Do you know what? All it would take.
Ben's coming to the new year with anger.
All it would take is one interesting car that costs roughly what that would cost,
and then
his time.
Also, I know what it is. It's because Ben wants your shifter.
Yeah. And your seats.
And if you break it up, he will take it.
And I want this.
So. Yeah, actually, great shout. Sell it. You want this?
For those of you that can't see, you're just listening.
Oh, yeah.
The Corsa B, which has just gone out on our YouTube channel, Top Dead Center, is a Vauxhall Corsa B or an Opel Corsa B if you're from Europe, but with a Saab B204 engine swapped in, making 250 minimum horsepower.
Hopefully more.
And it's rowdy and it's funny.
It's very funny. I put a post up asking for some parts in a Clio group. I put a picture of my car and a man messaged me. Bear in mind, I'm asking for bits to fix my car to get it running. And a man messaged me saying, mate, are you selling any body panels off your Clio? you think I'm going to fix this car and then drive around in a go-kart?
Did the guy not say the same thing about your Range Rover? Didn't you say the guy said?
I can't remember. Mate, quite possibly.
Do you want to sell the engine out of your Range Rover?
Quite possibly.
Why would I do that? You are rule.
Yeah, and also, the Range Rover, again, there will be a video on the Range Rover on our second channel. There was some pain involved with the Range Rover, but just before Christmas, I had an MOT, all clean, and I've done a few thousand miles, and I love that.
It was a taste of the S3.
Mm.
You know, it's one of those movies, I forget whether there's a specific term for it, where everything that can go wrong goes wrong, and it's like a series of failures that keep going, and you get halfway through the movie, and you're like, yeah, but in real life, it wouldn't always go wrong like this. It was like that. It was a comedy of errors.
I didn't think it would ever end. And then one day, just ended. And I kept going. I think something's going to happen.
Something's going
to
happen.
I'm going to drive to the MOT place and a wheel will fall off or something will go, bong, engine, whee. But it's been fine. So
touch wood. Benjamin.
Hello.
Over Christmas. You haven't done much to the car. Well, sorry, actually, I say that. You have had some development on your X5.
Yeah, battery died. That was fun. So I spent most of Christmas every time I wanted to drive it, jumping it. But I got a system going. I just parked the Clio nose to nose and then left jump cables in the car every time I wanted to start.
See, but he's starting to believe. He's a car person
Ben
now.
Ben gets just as frustrated about a battery being dead.
Yeah, something small.
As we do about like an entire car not
Yeah,
working.
An engine mount ripping.
Oh, I had to replace the battery. if I had just a battery, a battery issue. I'd pray for a battery issue.
I wish I had a penny every time Ben has gone, I'm selling it. I hate cars. I'm selling it. Yeah. I'm leasing a car.
We've said this before. I am prime candidate for leasing a car. And it will happen at some point, I'm sure. I just hate. I hate it when they don't work.
Just hate cars.
Why would, like the X5, just work? I bought you to work.
Yeah, but also,
work.
Ben, it's a 20-year-old car by this point.
I know.
That's been previously loaned by Will. This you can't like, expect it to work.
160,000 miles.
But so, is that a rule or a ruin?
I fixed it, so probably a rule.
Ooh,
and the Clio.
Probably a rule is probably, a ruin.
Yeah, it's either rule or ruin. There's no in between.
I think it's a rule because nothing has gone wrong. No news is good news.
Okay, well, let me round that out with a nice trio of, no, wait, it's ruin for me. Because on the 23rd of December, so we all broke up kind of at like the 20th, and that's everyone in our, there's probably what, 10, 15 people at work total, like in around here. And I thought, this is great. Christmas to myself. I'm the closest to the unit. The ramps are free. I'm going to get a load of work done. And so on the 23rd, I came in, I was told it was my mum's birthday. So I was told, do not be late for dinner. You must be back. I came in, did some work on the beat, went to go get in my Mercedes, turned the key, started and turned to leave, and it went. I was like, that's all. Firstly, Star Wars fan, are you? But secondly, I was like, that's not a good noise. That's a steering pump noise. Check the level. Went, oh, that's weird. It's low. Okay, it's fine. I'll just top it up. Topped up, got in the car, and I heard dripping. That's weird. Looked under it. I will overlay a video if you're watching. It's not good. It was just pouring out the back of the engine. So pulled it in here, put it up on the lift, and yep, a power steering hose had split. Couldn't get the part. It's part still not here. 6th of January that. So whenever this goes live, I think I will maybe have the part by then.
Be that week. Yeah.
So the whole of Christmas I haven't had my car, which means I've had to daily the Honda Beat during Christmas.
And it has been especially cold.
It's been especially cold, and the roof leaks a little bit. So water's on the inside of the car. So every morning, not only do I have to scrape the ice from the outside of the windscreen, I have to scrape it from the inside of the windscreen. That's meant I've consistently been 15 to 20 minutes late. So I'm angry this week. I'm annoyed. I just want my car back.
So 2025.
Back. Year of anger.
Same. Same as last year.
New year, same anger. So perfect. As always, let us know in the comments if you guys are rule or ruin. We'll read through. And what we got starting us off? We got some news.
I have one more ruin. That is that on Christmas Eve, my girlfriend's car, the gearbox failed. Ooh. She called me and said, I'm in Tesco's and I can't get fifth, sixth, or reverse.
Yeah, also, in Tesco's car park, going for sixth.
Crazy. Yeah, that's crazy. How quick was it? car won't set off.
Just doing burnouts. Yeah, got it into sixth, but it won't go anymore. Yeah.
I said, I was probably just a selector. Mechanic had a look at it. He was like, no.
Also, there's a, what is it called? The Dunning-Kruger effect, where you think you know a lot.
Yeah,
it's because we work with cars every day. Some like a non-car friend will ask me something. I'm like, it just sounds like the alternator to me. And then 2 weeks later, they'll come back and go, my car was written off because the engine exploded. I'm like, sorry. Sorry.
Oh, that's what I thought. I thought that, yeah.
Oh, I think you just need to put some fuel in it.
Well, we've been away for a while, so things have been happening. And Christmas has been happening, so...
Also, sorry, behind us, quickly, if you're not watching, if you are watching, a splendid game is on show. We're back to games. I went through the attic and found some classics. Some maybe not so conventional games that all of you have played. Behind us, Cars the Movie the Game. A great game on PS2 if you ever played it.
I never played that. Great movie.
Great movie.
Very clever
movie. You know what? It's in the name. It was just about cars, and that's great.
More movies should be named like this. Cars.
Fast and Furious, rename it. Cars.
But then again, they did planes. Not interested.
No, but what about trains? Automobiles.
I'd watch trains. No one rails.
What?
But like cars, you know, they can be a bit like humans.
Yeah.
They can sort of drive around, meet each other.
Are you forgetting the most important TV show of all time, Thomas the Tank Engine?
Exactly. Not as big as cars. We're saying
that trains couldn't exist.
What I'm saying
in the
is that they can only meet when they're in the big station.
But isn't that an allegory for life? That we only meet when we're on the big things?
And imagine that. You can only speak to your mates, but they're just either in front of you. They're directly in front of you or directly behind you.
You're just speaking to someone's back.
Or flying past you.
As it
goes past you.
That's smelling me. Uh-oh, we're already on to Delirium.
Yeah, I wouldn't like trains. That's a rubbish movie. What's happened in December? Well, we'll get on some news, because there has been some news.
There has been?
Like some real news, but we'll get to that. There are some things that have happened over Christmas, including we've been on ITV News.
Sorry?
We've been on ITV News.
I wasn't aware of this.
A listener /watcher.
Have they finally found the footage?
They have finally found the footage. Uh-oh. We are done for. And they found the hard drive.
Oh, no.
They checked our hard drive.
They checked Ben's hard drive. A worried look from Ben for a moment.
Nothing too sinister. Basically, we had some Christmas jumpers, some sort of Auto Alex multiverse Christmas jumpers.
Yep.
And ITV News did a piece on the people who made our Christmas jumpers.
Because they made our Christmas jumpers. They were like, guys,
someone's made TDC
big news,
jumpers in real
TDC
life.
TDC jumpers are existing. We better find the source.
But basically, they're called the British Christmas Jumpers.
That's an inventive name.
It's a good name. They were like, we make Christmas jumpers in Britain.
Hold on, where are we?
This is British Christmas
we're
jumpers.
British.
but most of the jumpers they picked up and used were either TDC ones or Drive ones.
What?
Great.
Oh, let's get some representation.
And they apparently sell loads, so they just picked ours. And we're like, yeah,
that means we're famous.
So I think we send a little bill.
So yeah, copyright infringement.
And go, would you like to pay us some money? For those. Also, at one point, she just picks up a sleeve. Why is it not finished?
So, if you received just a sleeve for Christmas, we're very sorry.
Sorry, it was a presenter from ITV News. Other things that we would like to speak about in that time, a Zafira trailer. This isn't news. Again, we'll get to news, but these are some things that have been on the mind.
We appreciate it. This might sound very, I forget what the word is, but... There is out there, a person is trying to sell a Vauxhall Zafira GSI trailer. So they've had the front end cut off and they're selling it. We have seen it. It's a cool idea. It's quite funny, but we have no use for it. We're not going to buy it. We don't want it.
Countless.
I'd say I've seen upwards of 100 links.
It's it doesn't stop.
It doesn't stop. I get it.
The day that sells.
Unironically, part of me wants to buy it and crush it.
Yeah.
Because we can't use it. There's nothing to do with it. We can't do it.
If you own it, I'd like to help you sell it.
Yeah.
If we can come together.
I just don't want it around.
let's get someone else to buy it. Just take it off the market.
Yeah.
Just take it off. Give you 20 quid for it.
There's so many. But again, if you have sent them, thank you very much for sending them. But now when I see a Facebook link to Facebook Marketplace, I usually just don't open it now. Because I now know the link number.
Yeah.
I know it ends in 2160. And if I see that number, I don't open it.
Yeah.
So I know it's the Zafira trailer.
So stop ruining it for everyone else if you keep sending us that, because then we won't see the other cool things that you're sending.
But thank you for sending it.
But thank you for sending it. Keep sending things, just not that.
Just not the Zafira trailer.
I have a motorway incident to speak about.
Uh-oh,
finally crashed on the motorway. No, I've never crashed on the motorway. I'm not a buffoon.
Because how do you crash the motorway?
How do you?
It's impossible. Yeah.
And to answer that question, go watch the last podcast.
But our last podcast, I think it was the last one, was essentially just one long rant.
It was a long
rant. We didn't talk about anything other than, it was just like going, and also,
yeah,
blind people.
One more thing.
Those guys.
Although, the comments, everyone agrees.
Yeah, it's fair.
Hold on.
Some abuse, though.
I was thinking about this. If we all agree, why don't we just gang up on people?
Yeah, why don't we start?
Why don't we start? You know how the police teapack people?
Yeah.
Let's just teapack middle lane drivers.
Let's get down for it.
A couple of gangs out there, everyone marks up their car 1-4. If you see a middle lane driver, we'll box them in, pull them off to the side of the motorway.
And it needs to be a signal you give to the other driver. You're like, you just point at him.
West side.
just a T.
Just a teapack. We teapack a police teapack.
But I'm on the motorway around the Christmas period. This was 22nd of December. So this was the weekend, I think, just before Christmas.
Yeah.
So people are driving, people are out. Learner car on the motorway. I think you can get people that learn on motorways now. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know if it's part of the
test.
Let
us know if that is, yeah.
I thought it was going to be part of the test, but it should be. But anyway, learner car in the middle lane, nothing to the left. I think this would have been the M25, I think. So it was like 4 lanes. And he's in the middle lane, 2 lanes to his left, just plodding along at 65 miles an hour. And I thought, I couldn't see who was driving at the time because I was about to come past it. And I thought,
whether it's 140.
At 140 miles an hour. Whether it's the learner or the person teaching is bad.
It's bad.
Either way.
Yeah.
Like if it's the person learning, maybe they're letting them make the mistake and then go, this isn't so quite right.
Yeah.
Move over. Went past it, just an instructor.
Just by himself.
Because in the passenger seat was just a child.
He's learning to drive.
It's just like, okay.
Teaching him young, mate.
The child is the instructor.
Right, so what you want to do, you don't want to be in the middle lane.
My experience on Forza Horizon, I normally jump this. but I was stunned. I was like, this person teaches people to drive.
Yeah.
And they don't understand the issue. And I went past them. And then sometimes, because I'm a grumpy, miserable old man, while still concentrating on ahead of me. I look behind me just to see if they will ever move.
Ever,
over.
Yeah, no, I did.
If they've been passed by a few cars, do they go, oh, I've been overtaken a few times. I, no.
Oh, goodbye. There goes our light.
That shit, the living daylights out of me. I look behind to see if anyone, if they've suddenly realised, oh, I got it wrong. Because it could happen.
It's happened before. Yeah, I've moved out to go past someone. I forgot to go back in. And then I've gone, someone's come past me. I'm like, whoops, sorry. Oh,
sorry, back to 140. There we go. but yeah, just didn't move. I thought that shuddered me to my core to see someone who teaches people to drive, driving like an imbecile. But
crazy.
So if that was, it was red.
If we, it red? Was a red.
It was a red L.
Is that not like a franchised?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
So yeah, so someone has just signed
could
up.
Could have been stolen.
You know what? What if that's what got someone caught? I'm like, that driving instructor's not driving like an instructor.
Although you should, you know, if you're going to steal a learner car, follow the rules.
And then put a child in it.
Teach him to drive. One more thing before we get to the forum, which I believe Ben was quite keen.
Oh, Ben's been saving up.
Yeah. Matej Rimac.
Yes.
Now, despite being an electric man.
Oh, I've seen.
He's quite cool.
He's very cool.
I've been seeing like more and more of his stuff has been served on my Instagram. Yep. So much to the point I thought, you know what? I'm going to follow him.
He would be
a very cool podcast guest.
Man, one day.
Well, although he's a lecky dude.
We have, what is it called? 6 degrees of separation, where it's like you can get to a celebrity via their connections.
Oh, yeah, we're getting
Misha. We have connections.
Do we?
Because Misha is very good friends with Matej.
Really?
Because there was a video recently of Misha saying, in the new Bugatti, can we have 2K swaps at the back and 2 PD130s at the front? And Matej's like, yeah, that's great.
I saw, yes, I did.
There
I
you go.
That didn't
so
that
you know Misha. What? Maybe we can make that happen at some point.
I met him.
Really?
Yeah. He won't remember me.
Was it
the UK? Me and Evian, who we used to work with, we went to the reveal of, I think was called a C2 then. I can't remember.
And that's Citroën, like mate.
Great.
That's what is now the Navara, right?
I think so, yes. But it had like, you know, like the camo livery and it had all wires and it was quite cool actually, but also electric.
I wouldn't know, get any enjoyment out of that.
But he posts all these pictures where he's just like just cruising around in a Rimac or like just parking a Rimac at the side of a just a street and going it like just doing normal people stuff.
He did
but in a Rimac.
It was the same thing. He went back home to like a very rural, very small town.
Yeah.
And he just pulls up in a Chiron.
Yeah.
He's like, leave the Chiron on the side of the road. Oh well, we'll go out to dinner in the larder. Like, that's cool.
There's also a couple of videos of him and a few mates. It's like him,
the Creo GT,
SLR, Creo GT, and I can't remember. There's a couple other interesting. Yeah.
But it's like, an E39 M5. But this is what car people are supposed to be. To be fair, Christian von Koenigsegg, kind of same kind of dude. He's A into MX5s. Weird. Know better. You should know better.
He is bald though.
Great. And then, but at the same time, also, I research this yourself. This is I remember an old article. He bought an old Saab, and he didn't get the engineers to do it. He started tinkering with the idea of a valveless head. So instead of having cams, it's hydraulics that open.
Yeah.
So it would cut down the size of your head from being yay big to just really slim and small. So it would cut down all the top heaviness of an engine. And he developed him himself on a Saab in his spare time. That's cool.
Now,
that's what I want CEOs to be doing. I don't want them to be like, coming into Q4, I get it. That's what, you know, businessmen have to be for big companies.
But come on. If you're in charge of an interesting brand or a car brand,
do some car stuff.
Get out there. Do some Matej Rimac, just doing what we would do if we had
the same money.
There was one, he drove the Rimac to a track, and then he was doing the testing on that new Tourbillon.
Yeah, the new Bugatti.
That's the new one. Yeah, and it's just living the life, but also being kind of normal about it.
Yeah.
So Matej Rimac, if you're not listening, if you are listening, just get on the podcast.
Let us know.
Come sit in front of the Corsa. Let us know.
Get Christian to develop a head for it. He loves Saab engines.
But he would be a really cool, because he's electric stuff, but I think he knows.
He has, yeah.
He also, I think, I'm fairly sure, again, this can be checked, that he said recently about the whole, you know, very, very rich people in hypercars is that they don't want electric stuff.
Yeah.
He knows that if you're super rich and you want something exclusive, you want it to have some kind of, some beating heart of some sort.
Also, we're in... We're, unfortunately, we're in the end times for combustion engines. So if you have the money to buy one, why wouldn't you go and buy that? Yeah,
you want a V16 or a V12 or whatever.
Okay, last few podcasts, we had a whole conversation about Fast and Furious, right?
Mm. Yeah.
And we
asked you to go and watch 1, 2, and 3.
And I've had a lot of time off over Christmas.
And you've watched none of them.
Yeah, I think it's none.
Great.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Actually, genuinely.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I'm not interested.
It's not interesting. It's just a channel that, you know, does modifies cars all day.
Cars rule everything around me. Let me be honest. I am interested, but also now it's become such a joke in like the office.
Well, I can't remember if I said this before. I'm going to say it again. I have a bad memory. But Ben, the same thing happened at previous unnamed job where Jack, our friend, said, Ben, please, can you watch Blade Runner? And Ben didn't for upwards of a year.
Yeah.
Then he finally did. Ben came in the next day and went, it's the best film I've ever watched. It's my favorite film.
It is good.
So trust us to tell you that 1 to 3 are some of the worst movies you'll ever watch.
So I had literally hundreds of messages.
Nice. Any favorites?
A lot of which were, as we said, abuse towards me. Good. And a lot of which were just incomprehensible gibberish, which I assume are quotes.
Oh, yeah. Can we get some quotes?
Can we please get some quotes?
Now, what I'd like as well is, Ben, for you to guess the context.
As long as they're from the first three, anything after that, I'm probably...
Yeah, I don't really know.
Someone in capital letters, his name is Chris, messaged me saying, ejectocito, cuz.
What do you think that might be?
Ejector seat.
From what?
Why would you have an ejector seat in a car?
That's a great question. Do you think would power that ejector seat?
Don't know.
Okay. That's fine. No.
Probably nitrous.
No,
that's why.
Ben knows the plot.
There was this man, this is Ollie, who said, you silly man, you need to watch the first three films. Ask any real racer if they have tuna on white with no crust and whatever. And whatever you do, stop slinging parts for Harry. Oh, and remember, only my homeboys call me Rome Pig.
You know,
Live set.
Sorry, you need to Rome. Pig.
Life's simple. You make choices and you don't look back.
A classic. You know what? Only my homeboys call me Rome. I feel like it's an inside joke of ours.
Yes.
Like, that's not a very well-known...
Yeah. I was like, when I heard ejectocito, I was like, okay, I've heard that a million times. But there are some niche ones.
Yeah, there's some...
Forget about a cur. That's quite normal. But what else we got?
Pakistan empty cur. That's a classic.
You think I let it slide on a beach or roll on a beach? I can't remember.
I ain't going back to Barstow.
Streets closed, pizza boy. Classic. Find another way home.
Nice.
And then I had quite a few messages, surprisingly, defending me. And
crazy.
Actually attacking you guys.
All right. So try, I had one. Try on. Is it Robin again?
I don't know. There's various ones. One said, Ben, mate, not going to lie, Fast and Furious is shite. It's aged so badly. It's like a 15-year-old in a 2000s made movie. It's so bad I started it, only got halfway through. Edwin and Will are just nostalgia.
Now, hold on. Here's the thing.
Never
you got halfway through.
Film.
You didn't get the whole way through. So your opinion's invalid.
No one ever said it was a good film.
No. We said it was a dumb film that's great for car bullshit.
We also had one that said, don't listen to those fat bleep.
Nice.
I haven't seen either of those
crazy
films.
Thing to say.
And then he said, I haven't seen those films either. They're shit, and anyone that likes them has no taste.
Again.
But Cameron, how do you know they're shit?
Common denominator here, you didn't watch it.
We're not saying it's like the Godfather trilogy. Yeah.
These movies are dumb, but you should watch them. Then you're saying that's the best film of all time.
You know what? That performance by The Rock when he said,
you know what?
Better hide your baby oil.
It was lacking in empathy. Crazy.
Hell nah. Man, I even paid retail for it.
But look at the center. Anyone say look at the center?
Oh no, sorry. That's Twinkie with the steering wheel. Nah. I even paid retail for that, yeah. You know what? Ben, the type of guy to pull up to underground street race in a Touran.
Ben is the guy who got told streets closed.
Ben the pizza boy.
Someone said, I like the tuna here.
Yeah.
Is that like like the fish?
No, that's just a MasterChef quote.
Okay. And then there was a guy that sent me, another man called Ollie sent me the entire plot of both films.
Hey, nice. Hey, you know what Ollie's doing? God's work.
Yeah, I don't know. There's loads. There's hundreds.
Do you know what DK stands for?
No.
Yeah, you should. If you go through there, you'll find out.
Can you put it? Because again, you should say Donkey Kong.
Donkey Kong. I don't know. I'd still like you to go watch them. To be honest, it is almost more funny to just say quotes at Ben.
Yeah.
So maybe less, less, I was about to say threatening. No, less mean comments. If you could just hit him with some quotes that are maybe less known. Yeah. Those are the good ones. Nice. Those are some interesting ones.
Not the run-of-the-mill ones that we've all heard. I want to hear some
interesting ones.
But I would also, I put it to you, Ben, I would be interested, if you could watch one by one of the next few podcasts, and then I want a breakdown. I just want you,
Can you break it down?
I want you to watch it, make some notes.
I'm not making notes.
Make it suspenseful. Make it
suspenseful. Sorry, no, I'm not spending my weekend watching a film I don't really want to watch
It's not that long. It's like an hour and a half.
Do you know what?
Go on. I just want you to come back on a podcast.
I'm giving you a film to watch then.
All right, fine.
All right, go on.
We'll trade.
What you got?
Ben's going to be like, Call of the Wild.
Brokeback Mountain's wonderful this time of year.
I'll think of it. Okay.
Is it Blade Runner?
You watched it and said you didn't like it.
This is now a film podcast.
Oh, God. Okay, whatever. We're going to the forum now.
Okay. Ben's not happy anymore.
Yeah, send me some more DMs, but this time give me reasons to watch it rather than just saying gibberish to me.
No, just to swear at him.
Or swear at me, that's fine.
So, moving on, we like to do a thing in our podcast called The Forum, because asking car people questions can sometimes be a little bit intimidating. We tend to be very know-it-all-ish. So this is a place for you to ask questions and get an answer that has no judgment, no nothing. We'll just answer it to our best of our ability. If you want to leave comments, leave them down either below Spotify. You can comment on there or on the YouTube video, wherever you'd like. Ben, you have some you saved up over Christmas?
I got a few, but I've picked my favourite.
Here we go.
It's quite a wholesome one, actually.
Oh, okay.
This is from Reese Spencer, who commented on Spotify, which you can do
if
you're listening. What's the best approach to honesty when selling a car? If you're selling a car you probably own for a long time, you're probably very aware of any issues with it. In an ideal world, you'd be able to be completely open and list off these issues in the ad or during the viewing. But given that a lot of the car sellers hide issues with their cars, you might find it hard to compete with them, even though both cars are likely in the same condition. What is the best place to land on the spectrum of honesty?
It's a good point. It's a good question.
I think it depends on how much detail you... I found selling cars before is that I will sometimes go into so much detail, but then sometimes you're then underselling your thing by saying it's got a little scratch here and
yep.
And then when you've got four or five of those, which is perfectly normal because it's a 10, 20, whatever year old car, but then someone goes, oh, it's got a scratch on it there, or it's got a dent on it there, or the brakes might need doing. I mean, it's like some things you cannot expect absolutely everything to be in an advert. You need to go and see a car.
Well, also there's the lovely encompassing quote, old car, so we'll have some scratches and dents. You see that in every Facebook thing. It's an old car, so don't expect it to be perfect.
It's not going to be showroom condition, mate.
But realistically, the only thing that you do to yourself by not mentioning it is open up the possibility that they find it and haggle with you. If you explain all the issues that you know that are kind of meaningful, actual issues, and price your car correctly to where you think you should be getting the money, if they come up with anything other than the price, you can just say no then.
Yeah.
Whereas if someone comes to your car and goes, well, you didn't tell me about this, I will haggle then.
Yeah.
Because that was a factor that changes how much the car is worth.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be there if that car is worth 500 quid less than the value is. So either you're going to give me 500 quid off or I'm going to leave. That's kind of your right as a buyer. You don't have to buy the car when you're there. You know, if you've driven a long way, you might be more inclined to buy it if you've got cash in hand, etc. But I never want someone to turn up to look at a car and go, oh, you didn't mention this, I'm going to offer you less now. Mm. It's either what I described and you want to have a little haggle or you leave.
Mm.
That's it for me.
Yeah. Again, there are some things that they're just a given on a used car that you could probably, you know, just pass. Like, again, it's like minor bodywork stuff. But again, if you have a dent or a scratch or like the wheels are fully curbed or whatever, the brakes are mashed or you've got a cracked windscreen or whatever, and you get there and, well, I've had it a few times before. You go and see a car and like the battery's dead. He's like, oh, sorry, we just had to jump it.
The 350, the Ferrari replica.
Yeah. So why wasn't that mentioned? Also, one of the things whatever circumstance someone's in selling a car, but if it's a dealer, it's normally worse, is you get there, why hasn't someone not prepared that car?
Yeah, absolutely.
Why, you know, and sometimes you might say, I want to come see it in an hour.
Yeah, then it's,
But then if I said, I want to come see that car on Saturday at 1 o'clock.
Yeah.
And you get there at 1 o'clock
and they go, I don't know where the paperwork is.
I just got to get that car out. Or sorry, I don't know about that. I'm not sure about that. I went to go and see an M4 with my mate once. And we went out, this was up to Coventry. It's quite a big dealership. They sell lots of Range Rovers.
I remember you saying,
God. I mean, Coventry was my first red flag because we're in shouting distance for Birmingham.
Yeah, we're
but again, they sold also high end stuff, but it felt a bit like car dealer shady.
Yeah,
but they just didn't say anything. Like there were lots of you see the car on the website and it looks pristine, and you get there and the car obviously hasn't moved in months because the brakes are all rusted. And you say, "Can we move it out?" And he goes, "Oh, sorry, we have to get a driver to do that. We can't do that." But there's nothing in the ad because they've just gone BMW M4, X amount of miles.
Yeah,
has history, is blue, and that's it. So for me, it's always I try and put as much detail as is physically possible. And be as honest as is physically possible because your selling experience will be better. And hopefully you will also weed out the people messaging you. You won't stop it completely.
No.
But you will weed out most of the people going, has it got this? Because that is one of the most frustrating things.
Oh, it's you see a car for sale, annoying.
And it looks like a good car. It looks like you might want to buy it, but the information is missing.
Yeah.
So you have to message them and say, hello, mate, has it had this job done? Is it this color? I don't know. Whatever it is question you want to put in there. When you have to keep pestering someone or calling them or whatever about that, it's just annoying. I want to look at an ad and get a rough idea of whether I want to see it or not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Going to look at it is just sealing the deal.
Yeah.
It's the equivalent of when you look through a car online and there's something that tells you, I don't want this car. Hmm. If you leave that out and I turn up to look at it and it has that problem, I'm not going to go in the moment, you know what? I'll buy it. I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
So I think it's always best to put as much detail as you can physically fit in a concise way. Don't make it paragraphs and paragraphs long.
Yeah.
I used to do that and it's bad. Just give me bullet points of the things that are good. I usually do a pros and cons list. Not pros and cons, but like things that it has that are good. Service history has been done here. This has been fitted. This is good. Things that I would change. A question I like to ask when I'm buying a car is, what would you do to it if you kept it? Because that will tend to bring out things that they aren't an issue now, but they might become an issue. Yeah. So you'll get someone going, oh, well, I think I'd probably get an alignment because I think that's going bad.
Yeah.
They wouldn't reveal that in a description, but they might tell you about it if you ask them. But good question. Yeah, no, I think go as honest as you can be, because you're not gonna get anyone turn up that was gonna buy it if you didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
That
makes sense. You're only hurting yourself. And again, some people do get away with it by having something that's broken, and because there are still those shady people that they will have an issue and they cover it up. Like if you've got a coolant leak and they just stick some K-Seal in the coolant bottle and go whatever, because they don't want to deal with the issue.
Yeah.
You will get people like that.
Also, we are talking from an enthusiast car basis.
Yeah.
Like if you're selling something that enthusiasts are into, don't bother trying to hide it because the chances are they're probably going to find it.
Yeah.
I'm sure if you're selling your run of the mill car, you know, like a first car sort of thing that someone's mum or dad is coming to look at, or a young person's going to look at, you might be able to get, you know, some stuff past someone, but hey, if you like living with that, fine, but you're best not to.
You can be a good person though, because it's annoying if you go, you wouldn't want it to happen to you.
You'd be just as pissed exactly. if you got there.
Because also, there is nothing, if you're selling a car privately, there is nothing that person can do. Absolutely. If it's a dealer, this is why I never understand when dealers are shady, because there are-
They can bring it back.
There are rights that mean someone can either reject the car or whatever, have it fixed. Whereas if you're selling, you know, sold a privately, scene. There is nothing that person can do.
No.
You are stuck with a car that is just a lump of metal that breaks.
But so be a good person.
I believe in car karma. I think if you sell a bad car,
karma,
it's happening to you. It's happening to you times 10.
That's why we all have broken cars. We sold, what's the meme? Me when I sell a single mother of five a car that's about to blow up.
LOL. Yeah.
And this forum section is even better because it's a double feature.
Good old.
It's been a few
weeks. Perhaps, Mr. President, there has been a second forum question. There you go.
This is a YouTube comment. This is from Funk Mastered.
Lovely.
If the ECU is the brain of the car and the engine is the heart, what are the other human body parts in relation to the human body?
The exhaust is the anus.
The gear stick is
I guess that
the penis, of course.
So the mouth is your air filter?
That's,
or your intake
that makes sense.
In general?
Ears.
The ears? That's got to be the wing mirrors.
Yeah, well, but they don't do the same thing.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm looking for a...
Listen, I've seen cars.
So like body panels are
Let's
clothes?
Let's refer to cars. What are these doing?
Body panels are clothes.
I like that. The chassis is your skeleton.
Yeah. You could get a rusty skeleton.
Ooh, die. That's tough.
Also, the engine's the heart. Surely the heart is the oil pump.
That's the heart of the heart.
But what's the engine then? That's, that's all like your muscles and stuff.
Yeah, but without the engine, the car can never go.
It's true. But without
quotes to live by.
Put that on a t-shirt. We really are a car podcast.
People learning, that's a crazy car. I wish I'd learned that before.
What's a seat?
Nah, anything inside is technically not kind of there.
A seat
it's like the spleen. Ooh, no one knows what it does, but it's just there.
Your fuel pipes are your intestines.
Very nice, clean.
Intestines. No, they're like your veins. Your intestines would carry waste.
Oh, yeah, that's true. What's the one?
Your dump valve is your intestines.
No, the rest of your pipe. You have the rest of your exhaust, but I think just your back box is your anus.
Oh, yeah, okay.
You've
got to
have a long anus.
Sorry, yeah. Right. I like that. Straight pipe, that's crazy.
Straight pipe your anus.
You know what? New album title just dropped.
Straight pipe my anus. New YouTube title maybe just dropped. So bodywork is clothes.
Pops and bangs as well.
It's just absolutely blasting. Interior, we don't want to. Windows, like windscreen's eyes.
Is it?
Yeah, I guess. Or your headlights your eyes. That's the other thing.
They allow you to see. Yeah, but so does the windscreen.
That's true.
But they allow you to see, but only if you're in there.
I guess your wheels and tires, your legs and feet. No, your suspension is your legs. Your wheels are your feet.
And
your
I like
your
that.
Ankles. You ankles know? Is like your hub.
What do you call it? Universal axles, what are they? On defenders and things. Like they've got mad, they can move around a lot.
Your knees are your lower arms or your ball joints.
Yeah. Crazy. We're getting into
your hips would then be your top mounts? No. Yeah.
It would be your subframe.
Your subframe is those like your
hip is what all your bits attached to.
And then the chassis is your spine. Everything attaches to that.
What about where would you piss from in a car?
Usually the coolant lines.
Yeah, but you shouldn't be though, really.
They are washer jets.
Where? Yeah. You just piss into your eyes?
Oh God.
Even if it's the washer jets, still
one podcast back into the air and we've already derailed.
You know what? I'm happy with that answer. Yeah, I think we leave it a pissing in your eyes. Yeah.
Piss in your own eyes.
I would like to now see Cars the movie, but they have to piss into their own eyes. okay, so that's second forum question there.
Lovely.
Everyone wishes was never asked.
Everyone. God, I hope they go back to one next week.
Can we please talk about cars? anyone who jumps forward, piss in his eyes.
skip.
So news. Let's have some serious...
I like that when they do that on Sky News, where they go into a preamble about what cars would be like if they were humans, and then they go, the news.
Syria. Liberty Walk.
Yes. Okay.
I don't like what they do.
I was going to say, I've never been... I don't think there's anything they've ever done that I've been a fan of.
People have their own tastes.
Yeah.
I don't like this one. But this is maybe their worst.
Is this new? I don't know.
This is a new thing.
Uh-oh.
A Miura.
Oh.
Now, I will say this isn't... They didn't take like some showroom condition, pristine, unbelievable Miura, although there are only like 700 odd.
So hold on. So there's been a Liberty Walk Miura for like a decade, but it was a replica.
This is a Miura.
So now they've done it to a real one.
Yeah. It was mashed before. Okay. It was like it needed a, like, you know.
Interesting.
But it just doesn't look good. It looks like what you might imagine a 12-year-old would do on Forza.
Is it
a Miura?
Do you have a photo there? I haven't seen it.
It's this guy.
Come on.
It kind of reminds me of a glimpse of that the Ford GT.
Do you know what that looks like? That reminds me of Midnight Club LA when you get the Miura. There's a body kit you can put on that flushes the lights.
But it just doesn't look good. A Miura is one of the best looking cars in my opinion, and that's just utterly ruined it. Each their own. They haven't. Again, it was a car that may not have ever been, it probably would have been for the value of those.
Yeah.
But, and it is a genuine Miura. And I tried to see, I went, like, surely they've done something performance. Nothing about performance. Still has the original V12, apparently. Mm. I don't know. It's just a bit.
I think.
I get it.
For me.
I also don't get it.
Old cars, especially like, go back to let's call it pre-70s. Mm. Wide body kits. They do not suit the lines of the car in the way that we do wide body kits now, if that makes sense. The way that we widen them from the side, like the whole side of the car, does not ever suit that shape. Whereas if you look at any race car from that time, it's just arches on the standard body or it's like a flare that comes around the side. Yeah. That's how it should be done,
or
I think.
Or it's just bigger wheels on the original bodywork,
like
where it's just flushed out or whatever.
Alpha Montreal, which I'm a mega fan of. They did a Group 4 Alpha Montreal and it's mega wide, but it kind of has like a Miura, you know, the Jota lip that comes around the front. It's like that off an arch coming into a big front lip.
Yeah.
That's cool. You didn't need to like flare out the arches anymore because you just need a little extension to fit bigger wheels.
Yeah.
That's a nice way of doing it.
But again, there'll be some people that like it. It's, I guess it's not like it's a, it's not going to be a Miura owners going out. I need to get that kit.
Liberty Walk.
It's obviously a fairly good publicity thing.
Yeah.
And I don't think they're going to be doing any more of them.
No.
But it's not like people that have seen a GT86 with a Robin Rocket Bunny kit and they go, I need a Rocket Bunny kit. So we're probably safe that we won't see another one of those, but
I'm going to say it. I think, I don't know that there is a wide body kit out there that it justifies itself.
Dimmer.
Now, yeah, I can't, so okay, no, I'm talking about now. I'm talking about like recent times.
Oh, like a, like
any Liberty Walk,
the modern,
any Rocket Bunny.
Yeah.
Or any Pandit, which is a part of Rocket Bunny, but any of those, it's just, it looks tacky.
Mm.
It looks, what it looks like is Need for Speed in the worst way.
Mm.
It's that it's almost lazy.
And Forza Horizon Children.
Yeah. It's just,
And it's probably going to be chrome as well.
And the weird thing that I always see it in the Instagram comments about it. Someone does a wide body kit and there'll be like a comment that someone's like not a fan of this.
Mm.
And it's like, what? Not everyone needs to be the same. I'm trying to be different. It's not an argument. It's not an argument to be like, oh, it's just because it's different. You don't like it. Yeah. No, it's bad. Different and bad are two different things.
Bad design is bad design.
Yeah.
Again, like beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Some people prefer looks of different things. Some people don't like the way supercars look. Some people might look like how, some people may not like what an original Miura looks like.
Yeah, they'll think it's boring.
Love that because it's modified and tuned, which, you know,
I think that,
I don't know what you're on, but
that comes back to the point we made a couple episodes ago, which is, I think that's people who are just getting into cars, where when you don't know that much, perhaps, which is not a problem. Everyone starts somewhere.
Yeah.
When I was young, I thought, wide body's cool because it's different. But then the more you learn, the more you go, actually, it was perfect.
Yeah.
And it might just need a little bit lower, a little bit wider, and it would look perfect.
It sounds snooty, but you gain taste.
You genuinely do.
You gain taste via experience.
You really do.
Yeah.
If you disagree with that statement, just wait 5 years and tell me that your taste is the same as 5 years ago. Then you can comment that.
It's almost like, with anything like that, you just funnel in on what you really like.
What your thing is.
Some of those things are, you like it because other people like it, or you like it because, you know, it's in a game or because of this or whatever. It's I don't get it. Sometimes motorsport, I think that's the only times I've ever seen, but that is because it's normally designed with function.
Exactly. And that is what I agree with.
In mind, and that is because when it's designed with function in mind, it usually works quite well visually.
Absolutely.
Like M3 GTR.
Yeah.
That is widened because it needs a wider track because it is a racing car.
And yeah.
It has a bigger engine in it, blah, blah, blah. It needs bigger aero, but it looks correct.
Yeah.
Whereas when you see a like a Liberty Walk or a Rocket Bunny kit on an E46 with a big, like bolted on blistered arch, it doesn't look good at all. So yeah. Liberty Walk, don't agree, mate. Don't agree. It's not good. It's not good.
You won't be seeing any Liberty Walk cars on our.
We're staying in Japan.
Okay.
Because apparently they're going to be revealing that at Tokyo Auto Salon.
TAS, yep. Big, yeah. Very big.
So that is soon, which we may have been by the time we've had this podcast, but anyway. But over Christmas, over sort of December, Honda, Nissan, and Mitsubishi.
Oh, so
they joined forces.
I didn't know
it was Mitsubishi.
No, I was about to say the same thing. I didn't know that. Wow.
They're literally so irrelevant. No one
So, cares. Okay. So talk me through, because I don't know anything. I've heard this title, but I have not heard any of the details.
Now, I don't know too much about it. From what I can see, again, they're just trying to get, it's a lot of it's to do with EV stuff.
Okay.
But doing a bit of research on it, the Honda CEO, not even he's convinced on why it's happened.
Great. So this is always great.
But there's a deeper meaning to this, possibly. But anyway, so the Honda CEO was asked why this sort of partnership with I think the main part of the partnership is Honda and Nissan.
Okay. But can I just quickly ask, is it that they are, the companies are still staying as they are, but they're just owned by one or together?
Yeah, they're staying as they are.
Okay, so they still exist separately. But they are under the same umbrella.
But from what I can see, it's not going to be, you know, people hear about this news and they go, we're going to get a Nissan GTR Type R.
Yes.
And we're going to get the Type R with a Nissan engine.
It's Volkswagen
it's
Audi. Not.
It's going to be, they're sharing battery technology.
Okay,
and
right.
It'd be that kind of thing. But again, I don't think there really is, again, I'll get to the reason. But the Honda CEO was asked why joining with Nissan would be good business. And he said, that's a difficult one.
Oh, that's never good. That's never good for your negotiations. Yeah.
A media-trained CEO who should have come out with a political response.
Yeah, something lovely.
I basically said, I don't really know, mate.
You know what? That's a great question.
But basically, apparently, there was another possibility that a Taiwanese, I think that's correct, company was going to buy Nissan.
Right.
So apparently, some people think that it's Honda have bought, how Honda have sort of come in and tried to save, stop that happening.
To
save sort of Japanese automotive industry so that Nissan doesn't end up shipping out there.
Well, that's
so apparently it's basically a, you know, the forces of Japan coming together. You might take Nissan from us.
You know what? We're making GTR still.
I'm not leaving.
15 years later, we're still making them. We still make
them. VR38, I'm still pumping them. That guy's hand making those things.
It's the same guy.
But it was interesting because obviously you look at it on the surface and you're like, it's just another. But apparently, looks like it was, which is quite cool.
That yeah, that's
like,
good. Hey,
you ain't.
No.
Meanwhile, British cars.
off to Middle East we go.
India, Middle East. Who is the highest bidder?
Yeah, send us off.
But that is that. And again, we're still staying in Japan. Again, same event. Nissan,
mm-hmm.
On their stand at this show, they are going to have an R32 GTR.
Is this the electric one?
Yeah. So it's a stock like R32 GTR, and they haven't really said the details of it, but apparently people believe it's going to be this, I think it's like a dual motor type thing.
It was a crazy.
It's still four-wheel drive.
RB26 price is getting so high, even Nissan can't afford it. Like, just stick a battery in it.
But basically, yeah, so it would be like 400 horsepower plus. That would be very fast, I'm sure, yeah. But also it's...
I think, I don't know, I was thinking about this the other day. I think the whole thing with a car person is that you can't ever convert something that exists already into electric because there is, you can see what you lost.
There's an attachment to whatever went before.
If I see an R32 GTR go past me with electric noise, all I'll be thinking is, where is Brian's Skyline noise?
People are angry enough when you swap the wrong engine into something.
Yeah.
And that's still an engine.
Exactly.
Even if you put a V8 in it, there's people that are going to go, that's not the right engine. I don't want that. You've just taken everything away from
it. It's gone.
I don't care if it was 1,000 horsepower. It doesn't make any sense.
You know, the Rimac and stuff. That's cool. Objectively, to me, that is cool. Yeah. If I see one, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
And if I was a passenger seat of it, I'd be impressed. I wouldn't sit there being like, electric cars, am I right?
Yeah.
But to take something that was internal combustion powered and change it, you lose anything that it was special about.
It gains nothing.
Yeah.
Other than being a bit quicker, which it's not like you can't make a Skyline slightly quicker anyway.
They are,
You don't actually gain anything on that. Anyway. But
I guess, again, another media opportunity, something to get people talking.
Yeah.
You know.
By the way, and stop them getting bought by Taiwan.
They're like, if you put that electric engine in that GTR, we will not buy you.
Honda are like, right, if you've already done that, sending you to Taiwan. off from Japan to China, again, I think this was last month. Again, we're catching up on stuff. The final ever VR6 was built.
I saw that. Yeah,
I mean, I did realize a few years ago that the VR6 was still being built, but I didn't realize it was still being built up until as of basically 2024.
So, what still that using have it. Been 89 it started or nine?
I think it was might be 91.
Okay, so early 90s,
something like that. 80s, 90s basically is when they had it. Like, was it 2.8?
Yeah.
3.2, I think, is the biggest.
Well, 3.6 would be.
3.6,
sorry, with the R36 engine.
But basically, they've still been using, because they still have V6s. Volkswagen are still, and Audi and Porsche, but they are like, they are V6 V6s.
Yeah, they're not VR. They don't have that scumbag noise in the UK. Yeah, you know that noise. You've heard a VR6. Going through the center of town in the middle of the night.
With his back box cut out.
Completely cut out. Tinted rear tail lights on a Mark IV Golf. Completely blacked out. Everything black. The rear wheel sitting incorrectly in the rear arch because that's what they do. Mwah. Chef's kiss.
So that means, like, as of last year, you could get a brand spanking new VR6.
Yeah. With something I saw that is a little bit off topic, but kind of on topic.
Yeah.
Have you been served on Instagram the reel of the, it's the Chinese company that are selling new engines?
No.
So I keep getting served this video, and it's of a lady in Japan, in China, saying, we're selling new engines, but they are all kinds of engines. I think they might have a new SR20. So
they are brand new. They're not actually original engines.
They are not original engines. Rebuilt. They are all the parts are brand new, but copied off an engine. So you can just buy a new SR20. So I saw lots of them are like Camry engines, just like high volume cars that people need engines for.
Oh, did I see this?
Yeah.
It was in a big warehouse and there's a guy slapping the top of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I want to find an engine that they have that is cool, like a 4G63 or something.
Yeah. It's got a Veyron engine in there.
but buy that, and I want to see it.
It's got plastic rods in it.
But so something like that. But if they did that, that's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Maybe we might have to buy.
Keep
one
them
of
going because if Alibaba, so you can buy off Alibaba an A86.
There's a 458.
A 458. If China's remaking these cars,
let's go, guys.
Get me to China now.
We will have to start making this podcast in Chinese.
Man, run it. I'll learn.
Let's get that going.
If you can make one JZs for like sub 500 quid, I'm out there. I'm repping you.
Get me out there. I now speak Chinese. but yeah, so that VR6 was, it was in I had a look. It's in a Chinese market cars. So like nothing we have here. Yeah. A Talagon,
right.
A Volkswagen. Never heard of that in my life.
Does it?
And a Q6, which is not apparently the same as our Q6.
I'm going to make an assumption on the Talagon. That it is a crossover looking 4x4 that is somehow simultaneously very small inside and absolutely huge on the outside.
Extremely long as well.
Yeah, there you go.
Like a bit of long wheelbase stuff. Chinese market stuff is quite, especially the German stuff, because they sell a lot of long wheel. I think there's like, there are 5 series long wheelbases and 6 and A6 long wheelbases that
I'd love that.
We just don't get here because there just isn't the demand here.
Yeah, no one cares.
But there's enough demand out there that we'll go, we only sell that to the Chinese market.
You guys literally aren't special enough. They will buy them. You may not have them.
You can have them in like 20 years.
Yeah. We make them, but you can't have them.
You can buy them used like at some point. But
like
right
some
now.
Peasant, but we don't care.
But that is basically it for sort of news we had to catch up on. The Honda thing was obviously quite big. There was one thing, actually. I've seen this on a few forums, and that is that this is kind of UK specific. And is that UK tax as of, what, this year now?
Yeah.
Is about to rise, I think, April or whatever. I think, I'm assuming new financial year.
End of March, I think?
Yeah.
Also, beginning of March?
But the amount of... So obviously, there are a lot of older performance cars that are in the like max tax band. Like my 350Z is £770 a year.
Yeah. So for those of you that aren't from the UK, we pay every single year, depending on the car you own, a vehicle tax, which you have to pay. If you are pulled over and you don't pay it, you'll be fined.
Yeah.
And it's dependent on each car. So let's say you own one car, you have to pay whatever the charge is that is kind of in that bracket for that car. If you own two cars, you have to pay it twice. There's no discount.
Yeah.
If you own 10, you pay it 10 times to drive that car on the road.
It's incredibly, it is quite confusing actually. Like for example, Ben has a BMW X5 diesel, which is the 2005. That because it is pre-2006, where obviously some legislation changed, the maximum tax you'll probably pay is about 400 quid.
Yep.
You go a year later, the exact same car.
Identical
will
car.
Be 500 or 600 quid.
Same emissions, same engine, same everything.
Exactly the same. It's just because it's
a day difference in build date.
Yeah.
And you pay £300 more so every year.
Pre-06, which is part of the reason. So my 350Z is an 07. You buy an 04 one, it'll be 380 quid or 400 and whatever. But basically, it does keep rising. I remember when the max tax band was like 550.
I
had an Alfa Carrera that was like 550.
So 545 or something.
And it went to 600 and it was like, whoa.
Everyone's like.
And now it's basically, I think it's going to be 800 and something.
Actually crazy.
But I have, the posts I've been seeing basically, I think I saw this in the M3 forum because they're all, the E92 because they're all that band, is that people have seen this post where.
The new cars.
The new car. This is specifically for brand new cars registered after this date. That I think the tax is like £5,000.
Yep.
£4,000. So there's people going, guys, what are we going to do? What there was, I remember seeing one. He was like, what are your plans for when the tax goes up? So like £4,000 or £5,000. I'm like, just everyone calm down.
Yeah.
It's all good. But there are a lot of people panicking that are in that because they're thinking as soon as it gets to March or April, I'm paying £5,000 tax here, which is ridiculous. But that is only on new cars basically sold after that.
I've
so
also
people
seen
like us, we're good.
That I believe this same March. Is when, so in the UK, electric cars have had to pay no road tax as an incentive to get people buying electric cars. And now, obviously, there are enough people that the government's like, whoa, hold on, we're losing money here. So I believe they're now implementing tax.
I wonder how they're going to explain, because obviously it's based on emissions.
Yes, but the interesting thing I saw was someone saying basically in February, at the end of February, sawn your car, which means to say you're not using your car on the road, so you can have it off the road. You don't need to pay tax, and the government don't come after you. Because if you don't pay your tax on your car, they'll keep sending you letters and saying you owe us money. You're not paying. Pay us. Sawn it for a day, and then buy, in inverted commas, your free year's car tax on February the 30th. So you're then free until the next year. I don't know if that works, but there was a load of comments on it being like, oh my God, thanks so much.
I bet they find a way.
Surely they have to.
I bet they say it's going to change next month. You can pay for now. Your month now will be
it's fine.
Pro rata or whatever. But after that, you are.
But there were lots of comments.
They will always find a way to swindle.
Make that money.
But yeah, if they get an electric car, I mean, also that would just be like, well, why? Hang on. What's the stuff about emissions then? Right, let's get cyclists going.
Yeah.
Let's get people in prams. Babies.
You know, this is a doorway to a very long argument, but it's the same thing as the ULEZ, which in the UK you have to pay. They are now doing ultra low emission zones. So you have to pay if your car pollutes over a certain level. But if you pay it, you can drive it. So it's about emissions. We do not want you in our cities.
But if you pay,
us, you're fine. Yeah. We don't care. We don't care about that. But just pay us. Give us the money.
My Range Rover shouldn't be ULEZ. It still is.
Yeah.
I've had this weird, I don't know if I should, maybe I shouldn't be speaking about this because I might get sniped in the street one day. I have a secret.
You know too much.
But I bought the X5 I had, which Ben now has. And when the guy I bought it from, he had it registered as disabled because he used it to drive his mum around, I think. I can't remember. I had to change the tax class back to, because you literally can't tax it unless proof that, whatever document it is you need. Changed it back to a normal car, like a regular M1 or whatever it is, had to pay the tax. Fine. It shouldn't be ULEZ.
Yeah.
Every time I drove to London, I would try and pay the ULEZ, and it would say, yeah, great, X5, don't worry about it, don't have to pay. I was like, I've got the only ULEZ
X5. ULEZ X5, yeah.
Sold that car. I bought this Range Rover, which is also not ULEZ, because it's an older 4.4 diesel V8. Again, checked it. I actually checked the ULEZ vehicle checker.
Yeah.
Which didn't work for the X5. And it said, yeah, don't worry about it. Your vehicle's good.
Really?
So I don't understand.
So somehow.
I don't know. Is it me?
Well,
is
I know
my,
that
it might be, my it, private plate is the only thing that sort of ties between both.
That X5 is still ULEZ for London.
So
is
it? If you
not
have.
Not for Bristol, where so I am. Me. But I don't know what it is. I looked when I changed. I've got the logbook in my name.
Yeah.
But for London, specifically, ULEZ, it's still ULEZ free.
But there are people who, ULEZ was rolled out on a blanket like argument of if your car is this, by this year or this category. But there are ways that if your car does actually meet that emission standard, but isn't on paper what the government want, you can argue it.
Yeah.
And you can basically submit a form. I don't know where this form is. I don't know how to do it. But there are people who have managed to get cars that aren't ULEZ agreed as ultra low emission by submitting a form and saying, this engine was produced in this year, so therefore it's the same as this one that you have allowed, etc. So I think there are ways around it. So it might be that someone's done that.
Some manufacturers have done it.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember Ford did it. Ford basically said, if you get in contact with us, it takes some time, obviously, because they've got a backlog. But you go and say, I've got, I don't know, X Fiesta. You might have things that are like a 1 liter and they can't.
Yeah, which is ridiculous. Because our 4.5 liter Cayenne, they're like, sure,
come in. Yeah. Supercars, drive around.
Rev it.
Not to worry. Don't rev it. Noise cameras here. Don't rev it.
No, the ULEZ thing as well is annoying because the way they do it is by emission standards.
Yeah.
You have Euro 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And for like diesels, anything that isn't Euro 6, which is 2016 onwards, they just say, no, you can't.
No.
But then there's always an example that I use, which is there's a Volvo engine. It's like a 1.6 diesel, and this is called like a Drive E. Nothing, no electric. It's just a very efficient diesel engine. They do like 75, 80 mpg, not ULEZ. But then you can have the 4.5 litre Cayenne, which is doing 17 miles to the gallon, and that, you're like, yeah.
Maybe there's something I don't know about this whole emissions thing that, I don't know, maybe it makes sense. But from what I can see, it just looks like...
No, from a layman's terms, it looks
like just straight up money.
Another one, it's just a cash grab as always.
Also, for like, what is it, 15, 12 pounds, 15 pounds, 17 pounds?
12, 15.
I can't remember which one is the... congestion, which one is?
Oh, which were okay, yeah.
You could spend like 30 quid basically.
Yeah, yeah, 17.50 and 12.50 or something.
Yeah, something also, like that.
Every day.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's just insane. Also, I remember I went to London. This was a few years ago, so I don't remember if it's still like this. Like this was pre-ULEZ, I think. Parked in like a street parking somewhere in Fulham. And my parking charge was higher because of the emissions.
What?
You know when you use like Ringo and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
It said, your car is, it was when I had an M5. So it was like, again, this is like max tax band yeah. car. And it said, your car is X tax band, X like emissions thing. Therefore, your parking costs more.
That's mental.
I stared at it because I hadn't driven into London in like maybe a couple of years yeah. by that point. I just stared at it. I was like, I'm stunned.
That's crazy.
Also, parked.
Yeah.
I've stopped.
You know, because this is stopped here, you're polluting this city.
I'm not sure they do it anymore, but because maybe it's like since ULEZ, it's like, yeah, okay, let's not.
They've patched
know.
That.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Do you know what? Let's not do that. Let's just charge everyone
yeah.
all the time.
You know, we can make more money.
No, not just when they park, just when they drive.
The money grabbing thing also really annoys me. The one, again, I was because the Bristol ULEZ zone is only in the very center of the city. And then if
on
you
the
go,
roundabout.
And if you, well, it's in the center of the city. So it's not actually that big, but then there is one road which was on the very edge of the zone. And if you look at the map, it is like a circle in the center. And there's a little like arm that comes off it up this one road, halfway up it, not even the whole road. And that's because people commute up that road, then turn up.
Yeah.
And they do that because they get money.
Yeah.
If it was for emissions, why would the whole road not be?
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
I'll make the whole country it. Oh, wait. Shouldn't give me any ideas.
It does keep expanding.
It keeps going. Yeah. It keeps going.
I mean, the only benefit may be is that there will be cars that may be of good value because people in London will want to get rid of them. But I don't think that's a good enough.
When it came thing. In, I made a point to check Facebook Marketplace like in the weeks that it started to yeah. roll, and the amount of cool, interesting cars that just went up sale and yeah. disappeared into the ether. It's really sad.
Yeah.
Cars that people have had for probably 20, 30 years, and they're like, I just can't have this.
Yeah. I'm sure there's enough shady people that could probably get you a free ULEZ. In fact, I know that happens.
Yeah,
I remember speaking to someone I went to school with once, hadn't spoken to them in years, and he was like, I can make your car ULEZ. Like,
yeah.
But this is like, there is no check. It's just like, you pay me, I don't know, 500 quid or whatever.
And it will
and
be.
Your car could be ULEZ. I was like, I don't like that. I'm not sure I like that.
I would never do that.
I could give you 500 quid and you could just, you know, who do I complain to? They go to the police and go, well, I was trying to make my car ULEZ.
He said he could.
Probably better to just put it towards a car that is ULEZ. There we go. A little bit of negativity.
Yeah, it's a great way to start 2025.
Cars are dying and we'll all got to pay millions to stay on the road.
God.
But we're going to end not with an argument. Well, it might end up as an argument. New segment that Ben will make a jingle for at some point. We just don't have one right now. Carspiracies.
Yeah.
Car conspiracies.
Yeah. In one of the previous episodes, we mentioned that, well, one of our car conspiracies is that the manufacturers got told that end times are coming. You can't have big engines anymore. So they went mad and put twin turbo V10 engines in RS6s and things. We were talking earlier, we came up with another one that part of me genuinely believes that it's very specific.
This is super specific.
So specific. Yeah. BMW in the mid-2000s made the M5 and M6 with the V10 engine. We drove one recently on the channel. It's kind of well regarded as people's favorite sounding BMW. It sounds incredible. There's one issue with them is that they came with a automated manual gearbox called an SMG, which is very jerky. Some people like it. Most people hate it. After driving one, I hate it. But at the exact same time, they had a DCT gearbox, which is a dual clutch. Really nice, really efficient. Will, you've had it multiple in your M3s, and they are the most beautiful, crisp sounding downshifts. They're perfect. The weird thing is the S65 engine from Will's M3 and the S85 from the M5 are basically identical.
Yeah, they're very similar.
The gearbox does bolt between them, but yet they only ever offered the SMG in the M5 and the DCT in the M3. So, people have always thought, just convert the M5 to DCT. We could sort the biggest problem of that car and have one of the best. Imagine that V10, that ridiculous V10 noise with crisp downshifts. If you've never heard a DCT V8 M3, go and search up one and just listen to the downshifts. The crack on the downshift is, it is perfect. And if that was on the V10, it would be my perfect car.
Mm.
And I've said, the day that someone sorts out DCT in a V10 M5, I will sell lots of my things and go and buy one. But for the past decade, people have been trying to no avail to make it work. You can connect the gearbox to the engine, fine. After many moons of coding, you can make it shift up with a DCT doing very quick upshifts. But nobody has ever managed to get a nice OEM solution. I don't mean like in a motorsport way, because people have worked out gear controllers to do that. But to make it downshift, they just can't do it. It won't happen. But this is where the conspiracy comes in. Because BMW built one DCT S85 V10. They made a pre-production M6 CSL.
Was it a 5? It was a 5.
What?
M5 CSL.
I think it's a 6.
It's a 5.
It's the red 6.
A 5.
I think it's a 6.
The argument's starting.
I'm fairly sure it's a 5.
Whatever it is.
It's white 6. With a motorsport livery. And then, Maybe they did both.
I think they did both, because there's a red 6 in their underground dungeon.
I hear that.
Okay. Whatever it is, we'll end the argument by putting it on the screen now.
They're both there. I think Will's right. There is also a white. Yeah. There's a white M5 as well. So they were going to put into production an M5 and an M6 CSL.
It was an M5 with a carbon roof as well.
Yeah, so carbon roof. I think the boot lid was carbon on both of them. Carbon plenums and a DCT gearbox. And then they just disappeared.
That's weird. Why would they do that?
It never came to fruition. The cars never existed. And when you find, there are videos of people going around the BMW's secret museum, and the cars are sat there.
Yeah.
Never moved, never anything.
There is a video as well. There's a video of I think it's the M5
on the
driving around the Nürburgring, and it's, the audio is dreadful, and I'm just listening out, and there's just nothing.
You can't hear anything. So my conspiracy is that even BMW couldn't work out how to do the downshifts.
Yeah. So we were at TRS, who's done like some, Peter, who's done some remapping for us on his multiple cars, and he's a big BMW man. Mm-hmm. He likes his BMW man thing. And he had a DCT box there, so we got talking to him about that.
What's that doing on the floor?
What's that doing there? And he's done a few bits with M3s and M5s, and he knows them well. And he's basically saying that a friend of his had has an M6 that I think they have put the DCT box in.
Yeah.
I can't remember how, it was years. It was like 4 or 5 years, he said. He was trying to figure out how to like make the DCT box work seamlessly.
Yeah.
Now, they do have it in there now, but I don't know if the downshifts are in. Yeah. How many times have we seen a video?
Oh, there is a video from Gintani, the people who you might recognize from doing the Lamborghini exhausts. Yeah. Years and years, we were at CT at this. Mm. A video of one on the dyno going, nah, 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 through the gears, sounding incredible. And then the video cuts just before he gets to the downshifts. And all the comments in it are, where's the downshifts? And they're like, we're working on it. We're soon. We're close. Never happened.
Just
Evolve haven't been able to do it yet.
Yeah, I think they might still be doing it.
I'm sure someone will get it.
I believe in Peter.
Peter,
mate. If we can please just focus. Don't worry about the business. Don't worry about the business.
Just
worry about the
100
odd people that are going to pay you good money to put a DCT box in an M5 or an M6.
So yeah, my conspiracy is that even BMW, they said they were going to do it. They put the gearbox in, they got the upshifts working, and then they came to try and do the code in the downshifts, the thing that everyone struggles with, and went, uh-oh.
They built the whole car, and the guy from BMW said, box is in.
Yeah,
it's all good, yeah. Yeah, shift up.
Have you done the downshift?
The what?
Have you done the downshift?
Upshifts? Oh, yeah. We've got those. Yeah, we've got all 7 of those.
But not the downshift.
Yeah, we can go down.
Okay.
It's just not good.
Okay. So we're going to have to cancel the car.
Yeah, let's just cancel it.
Cool, I like
put it at museum. And then tell no one.
Tell no one.
Say nothing of this encounter.
So yeah.
So that's a conspiracy. If you know anything.
About anything at all.
Let us know. Honestly, if you have a conspiracy,
let's try and keep it up.
Actually, you know what? Just tell us a conspiracy.
This is my
again. It has to be to do with cars.
Yeah, not just general.
It can't be that Robinson's the juice company is going to take over the world or something.
They bought out Nissan.
Robinson's holds the key to the DCT conspiracy.
By far, my new favorite section.
Okay,
please.
Well, Ben's got to make a jingle.
I am quite excited.
I'll make
about
a jingle,
this.
But I need comments. I want it to be as far-fetched as possible.
Great.
I'm going to just enjoy reading through these, and the best ones we will say on the podcast.
Perfect.
Oh, we'll do that. We will discuss them.
We'll go through your car conspiracies next week. So your car-spiracies next week.
We've run out of things to argue about, so now we're going to argue about conspiracies.
Yeah, that's perfect. Thank you very much for listening to the Cars Rule Everything Around Me podcast. Sorry we weren't there for a few weeks, but we are back. We're ready to go for 2025. We'll see you again next week. And Ben, play the outro song.